Today, for our Friday Forum webinar, we welcome UVA alum Omar Garriott. Omar is a 2002 graduate of the McIntyre School of Commerce. He also holds an MBA from UC Berkeley. He has spent time as a teacher for Teach for America and worked at Apple, where he led marketing of iPads to schools. Omar is currently a senior product marketing manager at LinkedIn, and he joins us today from his office in California. Here is Omar Garriott with LinkedIn 101.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us this morning. Feel free, as Marianne said, to enter questions in the chat room, but hope to take those at the end. If you have something pressing or urgent, she will interrupt me. So here's what we're going to cover today. I wanted to give you an overview briefly of myself, as well as LinkedIn, sort of the size of our network. Then we'll get into a little bit of discussion about sort of the idea of professional brand and profile, which is the big thing that you can control on LinkedIn. We'll talk a little bit about expanding and growing your network on LinkedIn, a great tool for doing that, of course. A little bit about companies and jobs. I want to show you the LinkedIn alumni tool, which you may not have seen. It's a great tool for job searching and networking. Then we'll get into a little bit of discussion about some of the great content that's on LinkedIn, as well as a new premium offering that we have. And again, we'll take questions at the end. So, who is this guy? I am a product marketing manager in our student and higher ed team here at LinkedIn. So my focus is really on building products and communicating the value of LinkedIn to that audience. Really what we're trying to do for students, think about college students in particular, is package that data in ways that can be useful, the data we have in our network in ways that can be useful for students. And we have a lot of it in terms of career paths and what graduates of certain schools go on to do, and I'll show you a little bit of that later on. So I try to generalize this presentation to some overarching tips on how to use LinkedIn. It's not really my focus, but I'll do my best. And my transition to LinkedIn from Apple was actually a good proof point for the value of LinkedIn because I was found on LinkedIn by LinkedIn. So that's how I landed here and couldn't be happier that I did. I'm also a huge soccer fan, so go Team USA, and I'm sorry for the really bad Photoshop job there. So briefly, my path from UVA though I was a business major, I taught third grade in Washington, D.C., and then I went to work for a nonprofit that helped low-income kids go to college for 3 years, spent a year at an agency, and then landed at Berkeley for my MBA. Since that time, I've worked for three tech companies and really enjoying LinkedIn. It's a great place for me right now. I wanted to just touch on why that is, what makes LinkedIn so cool. For me, it starts with our vision, which is a bold one that really everyone here believes in, which is to create economic opportunity for people and really the entire world. We really think we have a platform that could raise the GDP of nations, and that excites all of us who come to work here every day. Our mission is to connect the world's professionals to make them more productive and successful. And I think oftentimes people think about LinkedIn as a place you need to go when you're actively looking for a job, but the example I provided earlier about being found while I wasn't really looking for a job is actually a pretty compelling use case. It's a great resource for recruiters to find passive candidates who may not be looking, but might be happy with where they ended up, as I was. The other piece I just want to highlight in our mission statement here is just that, you know, it's not just in those job transition periods that having a presence on LinkedIn is valuable. We, as I'll talk about at the end, we have content, all kinds of resources on LinkedIn that can help you just be a better professional and develop yourself. So I think it's not necessarily widely known that LinkedIn is a publishing platform and a content aggregator, but there's a lot of amazing professional resources on LinkedIn that I just want to make sure you know about. So just to give you a flavor for who uses LinkedIn, the world's largest professional network, over 300 million members to date. Two-thirds of that membership is actually outside of the U.S. We have about 100 million members in the U.S. we also have approaching 40 million students and recent grads, which is the market that I focus on currently. About half of those are current students. Over 3 million companies that have a presence on LinkedIn, a lot of college-affiliated alumni groups, which if you went to UVA or any other school, you should definitely be joining and actively engaging in. Hundreds of industries represented. We have now a presence for over 25,000 colleges on LinkedIn who are branding themselves and communicating with key audiences on LinkedIn. And then approaching 2 million groups for a variety of interests and industries. Just give you a sense of our member growth. It's been a steep curve and getting even steeper. This chart actually only goes through last year. We've added another 100 million in the past year alone. So you can sort of see the growth here, and it's really becoming the place where if you're in the working world or will be or want to be, you have to be on LinkedIn. So just a few no-brainers that I sort of was reflecting on. I think these are the things that you just sort of need to do on LinkedIn to get started. These are no-brainers for job seekers in particular, which again is still a big part of why people use LinkedIn, and I'll talk a little bit about each of these. But really, it all starts with the profile. Folks you're trying to connect with or recruiters just won't take your profile seriously if you don't market your skills and experience effectively. You want to obviously build a robust network and connecting with everyone you know. There's lots of ways to research great opportunities on LinkedIn, which I'll talk about a little bit with companies. Signing up for email, daily email alerts is I think, also a no-brainer. And then some of the content, which I mentioned, we'll get into at the very end. So do these things. So, we're in a world here nowadays where recruiters are starting with, and hiring managers are starting with, searches online for candidates that they're looking at, and 70% say they've rejected someone because they found information about that person online that maybe didn't look so favorably upon their candidacy. The flip side is that 85% say if you have a positive online reputation, they can be swayed in the other direction there. So, really this is about your professional brand and putting your best foot forward on the web. We think LinkedIn is a great, if not the best, place and way to do that. So, for most people, their LinkedIn profile is one of the top hits on Google, again, which is the place that recruiters and hiring managers are starting. This is an example from a member who's given us permission to share some of his information. The image on the left is his search results. I think he was it was appearing third in a Google search for his name a few months ago. But he really invested in his profile over the past few months, built out a more robust profile, descriptions of his experience, connected pretty actively, started following various companies and influencers, and now the search engines had a chance to crawl that and it's now the first thing that appears when you Google his name. So this really has tremendous value for his personal brand and the reputation, not only for him personally, but also the career center that he works at. So, it's an investment that can pay off in terms of SEO. I think there are a few profile must-haves in my mind. And those are your profile summary, your photo, and skills. And in red here, I'm showing some data that we have on members who have a summary get on average 10 times more profile views than those without. This is the area near the top of your profile where you're describing sort of your experience and maybe aspirations for what you want to do. I'll talk a little bit more about that. But summary clearly makes you more likely to turn up in search results. Photo, you know, another no-brainer for sort of the first step in your profile, but you'd be amazed at how many LinkedIn members don't have a professional photo. That'll make you 11 times more likely to be found on LinkedIn. And then skills, we'll talk about that as well, but 13-fold likelihood to be found on LinkedIn with skills. So these are sort of the must-haves when you're thinking about your profile. And I just italicized the word professional here in terms of your not only your photo, but your entire presence on LinkedIn. You know, keep in mind, again, I talk to students a lot, so you know, we're trying to differentiate the difference between Facebook and LinkedIn. But, you know, you want to have, when it comes to a photo, you want to have a professional picture of you alone, facing forward, nothing creepy. and you know, the photo is just the place to start. It sort of makes your whole presence on LinkedIn real. It helps people with the ability to connect with you. I was just talking to a recruiter the other day who was saying she really appreciates when there's photos. She doesn't even look at results for anyone who doesn't have a photo because it just seems off, and she likes to put that face to a name. So start with your professional profile photo. The summary is a really important area of the profile, and you know, I think of it as sort of your personal narrative. It's what you've done and also what you aspire to do. It's maybe a more vibrant and personal cover letter, if you will. This is mine that I'm showing here. And you know, notice in the second paragraph in particular, I'm using lots of keywords that others, particularly recruiters, might search for. But also, there's a narrative to this. It's informative and fairly specific, but it's human. It's not just a series of keywords. So really take some time to build out a professional summary that's rich in keywords, but also sort of describes you in a human narrative way. Another thing you can do on your profile, sort of make your profile come alive, is rich media. This is relatively new and perhaps not well known, but LinkedIn allows you to display visual examples of your work on your profile. This feature is called Portfolio. You can add links to websites that feature your writing, can upload presentations, documents that demonstrate success you've had in a recent project. You can share videos that showcase your skills. And it's not just for, you know, folks in the creative industries. Think about anything that you or even your organization or team has created that you want to showcase. You can upload PDFs. There's a lot of capability with this. And what's interesting is you can attach it to specific sections of your profile. So if you want to upload a piece of content, you can attach it to specific parts of your experience that you've had. You can do that in both the summary section and any entry in the experience section. So just click that the plus sign to add the media where you'd like it to appear. And again, you can share a link to your blog, website. That's what I'm showing in the bottom right corner. So rich media on profile, a great way to stand out. Another place you really want to be mindful of keywords is the headline, which is that area right underneath your name and title. It's on your profile top card. And you know, this is a prime area for SEO, for search engine optimization. I think the way that you frame who you are is largely dependent on what your goals are with LinkedIn. You want to be really descriptive when you're actively job searching and making sure you're tying sort of your headline to the kinds of opportunities you're looking at. You almost want to match that headline to titles that you're going after so that recruiters are really aligned with what they're looking for. But you know, here are some good examples of what I think are strong headlines. And again, any additional description, a good place for that is in that summary section of your profile. So in terms of finding those keywords, here's a quote from a recruiter that's just saying, you know, sort of the default place that recruiters start is searching for specific keywords. They want to find people that have the experience and expertise that they're looking for, and looking for specific skills. So, you know, I can't overemphasize the importance of those keywords. But how do you determine what the right one should be? Well, one way to do that is just in our search functionality on LinkedIn, you can search for a role. Let's say you're looking, sorry if the screen is a little bit small here, but let's say you're looking for a role as a technical product manager. In terms of finding keywords for that position, you know, you can search for both people who have that title or have those terms on their profile and then start to crawl through profiles individually, or you can actually search for those terms as a job. And doing so will sort of provide you with a full list of all the jobs that currently incorporate those keywords, technical product manager. So just click on a few of the jobs that come up when you search. And as you can see in this example, or maybe you can't see it, but I'll read it to you, there are words that come up frequently in this job description. So this is a senior product manager at a tech company, and you'll notice keywords like product, marketing, you know, cloud, engineering. So, you know, if I were looking for a job like this one, I'd be sure to incorporate these words into my LinkedIn profile. Another great way to search for keywords is to find role models on LinkedIn. So, you know, if you do that search I showed you earlier for people and you start to look through individual profiles of people who might have a job that you want, you know, it's a great way to sort of steal keywords, but you can also get ideas for, you know, what makes a strong headline, that summary statement I talked about earlier, employers, so where do these folks work who have these job titles. On the profile, you're displaying groups that you're a part of, so that can be a good, you know, searching role model profiles for group suggestions is a good way to understand sort of like the circles that certain jobs operate in. And then, of course, who they're connected to, who could potentially serve as other role models as you sort of build out your professional presence and look at opportunities. The skills and expertise section, I mentioned earlier that having skills on your LinkedIn profile makes you 13 times more likely to be viewed. This is an important area, so, you know, we can get into it in the Q&A. I know there's always questions about endorsements on LinkedIn, but you can actually say, I'm skilled in these areas, and then you'll be, you know, and then your network can endorse you for those specific skills. So just make sure you're looking at that section in your profile. It's really important, and that's another place that you want to have these keywords. And luckily, the skills themselves tend to align very easily to keywords, but make sure you're thinking about keywords in that area that you want to be endorsed for. Just want to point out that when you're in edit profile mode, there's also a bunch of other sections to profile that maybe are lesser known. We actually created a lot of these initially for students who needed to have a more welcoming onboarding experience with, you know, given that they don't have a lot of professional experience, but there is applicability to any age range and any professional experience set. You know, there's optional sections you can include, including, you know, projects, languages you might speak, organizations you're a part of, honors or awards, you can even put your test scores in there. Obviously, you should only add sections that you think will add value to your profile, but just wanted to point out there's a lot of other things that maybe are not commonly used, but you can actually use to round out your profile. And one area that I'm a big fan of is volunteer experience and causes. I really recommend that everyone, especially job seekers, add any of your volunteer experience to this section. We did a poll that found that, you know, 20% of hiring managers in the U.S. Agree that they've hired a candidate because of their volunteer work experience. And two-fifths of our hiring managers here at LinkedIn actually view this experience as equivalent to full-time paid work experience. So, you know, especially if you've been out of work for a while, just showing that your active and volunteer efforts can can impress an employer and demonstrate you're looking to keep your skills sharp. I really recommend this area. It also just paints a more holistic view of who you are and what your interests are. So look at that volunteer experience and causes section. And then as I mentioned earlier, you want to be joining groups that align to industries you're in or just other affiliations that you have, so universities that you went to, companies you might have previously worked for, nonprofits that you're volunteering with or care about. I think this is an area that shows up on your profile, so I just wanted to highlight that it's part of your professional brand. So it's not just about getting interesting content or networking. It's also just an indication to recruiters, hiring managers, people who might be looking at your profile, just where your professional interests lie and how you're connected in your industry. Sort of shows that you take professional development seriously. All right, so I want to transition a little bit into talking about networking and building your network on LinkedIn. This is a well-known sort of statistic, but essentially people find opportunities through not necessarily who they know, but who they know that knows them. So it's like sort of the second and third degree connections that are most valuable as you're looking for opportunities. And LinkedIn is just a really good way to help you map and tap this network. For starters, I think it's probably a little bit obvious, but just think broadly about your network and all the shared affiliations that you might have with people. Chances are most of them are on LinkedIn already. Different people have different thresholds for connecting, but my personal opinion is that you should go broad and really make this network effect that's possible with LinkedIn work for you. When you start to get into the 30 to 50 connections range, it really starts to take off and give you access to meaningful networks. So I would say don't be shy. Think about every possible person you know. Maybe you've done business with them. Maybe they're friends or friends of friends, parents' friends. There's a lot of ways to think about your network. But I say go broad. And if somebody's got has a lower threshold or a higher threshold for who they want to connect with, they don't have to accept your connection request. When you send those connection requests and reach out to people, especially with those that you've never met, just remember that how you actually connect with them really matters. My advice would be to send personalized connection requests, so especially, again, if it's someone that you don't know, and especially if you're actively job seeking or asking for a favor, maybe you want to meet for coffee or something, just contextualize it. Really helps making sure that you get a positive response. And I know for me personally, I don't tend to even respond to connection requests if they're a cold request, if somebody hasn't sort of given me context for why they'd like to connect with me, who they are, what our shared affiliations are. And here's where you can really play up your alumni affiliation. People who share an alma mater are oftentimes willing to do a lot for fellow alumni or current students. So I think even that can be a good way in. But just make that clear in your connection request. In terms of building a network fairly rapidly, we have a feature on LinkedIn that allows you to upload your address book. So if you sort of log into one of your email providers on LinkedIn, it'll pull your contacts from these various email providers. Just go to the connections nav bar, go to connections, add connections, it'll take you to the screen and allow you to do a mass import of your contacts and automatically send them a connection request. You can go through and individually select those that you want to be included in this notification. That's a good way to quickly build your Rolodex. I'm dating myself by saying Rolodex. in terms of one feature I just wanted to talk about that is not well known is you have the ability to actually export your first degree connection information. So under that connections menu, if you go to the little gear icon in the top right corner, it'll take you to a screen that allows you to, under advanced settings, export your LinkedIn connections, and it'll ask if you want to export them all. it's just a really handy way to see everyone you know in a professional context and all the contact info that they've shared. So email address, any other contact info, just spits it out into a spreadsheet. So it's easily searchable and you can actually, you know, do something with it. If you wanted to, you could send an offline email to to a group of folks really easily that way. So I just wanted to point out that you can actually export your first degree connections, because by taking the act of connecting with you, they've agreed to sharing their contact information in this way. It's a really great feature I actually use a lot. Another way to build out your connections on LinkedIn is the people you may know. So that tends to appear in the top right module on your homepage. And this is just an algorithm where we'll recommend potential connections. These are largely based on your current connections, but also group memberships, interests you've indicated in your profile. It's looking at places where you've worked. You'll automatically see, I think, at least three people featured here, but you can click See More to see a full list of possible connections. And it's kind of an addictive page, landing page if you go to it. I believe there's infinite scroll there where you can continue to see people that you might know. So that's a really good way to let LinkedIn's intelligent algorithm help you find people to connect with. Also want to point out advanced search. Advanced search is a really powerful tool. There's a lot you can do with it, and most of it is actually free, including searching for people who work at specific companies or have certain titles or even where they're located. So this screenshot here is a quick search I did for all of the CEOs. So I had CEO in the title. By the way, to get to advanced search, you just click the advanced text there in the top right next to the search box. So I searched for title CEO, current or past, who went to the University of Virginia. It took me about 6 seconds to do, and I found over 2,500 of them just by entering, you know, CEO and title in schools, University of Virginia. There's ways that you can limit or expand that search. You can focus on specific locations. You can focus on people who work at certain companies. So advanced search is a really powerful tool. Again, you can individually connect with those people once you get those search results, or you can sort of see a summary of their career path and get some ideas for what you might want to do or where they work. You can also, of course, view their profiles and get more detailed information about who these people are. But advanced search is really something I recommend you play around with. And again, most of this is actually available free in terms of the search parameters. Who's viewed your profile is a popular and somewhat voyeuristic part of LinkedIn, but it's actually really helpful for job seekers in particular. It's kind of vital information. So, you know, if your profile is being viewed often, it means that, first of all, you've done something right with your profile. It's complete. You have strong keywords. It's easily searched and found by others. But, you know, think about this information being useful in terms of not only trending and when your information is being viewed. Maybe you've spoken at a conference and, you know, that's a good uptick you're getting. But also, you know, maybe you've interviewed at a certain company and you see 2 days later that a hiring manager or a recruiter has viewed your profile. That's probably a good sign that they're interested. You can also reach out to people who've just sort of, you may not even know who viewed your profile, to establish a connection or find out what their interest was in you. And I've seen good connections made that way based on this feature. So check that one out too if you're not familiar with it. One thing about this that we often get asked, you are able to turn off this feature, but you know, it's reciprocal, so that if you do so, you won't be able to see who viewed your profile. At the same time, profiles you viewed won't be able to see that you viewed them. So transitioning quickly to company pages and jobs, don't forget to research individual employers on company pages. Also to check out and join industry groups, which I mentioned. But you know, remember, there are millions of companies on LinkedIn. They have a presence on LinkedIn with company pages. And you can see information from these companies if you choose to actively follow them, which I've highlighted in the top right there. Just click that follow button. You can get information from them about what it's like to work there. You can also see other companies that people have viewed. So these are sort of similar companies. But if you follow them, you'll get updates in your newsfeed. Another interesting part of a company page is LinkedIn's automatically pulling in who you know that works there and how you're connected. So, you know, company pages can be a really interesting way to get firsthand information from the company on the company as an employer, but also see how you might be able to get your foot in the door there. And of course, you can search and apply for jobs on LinkedIn if you click in the jobs on our top nav. And you know, you can also save jobs. You can set up regular job reports. LinkedIn has, you know, hundreds of thousands of jobs, and it's an area we're investing in, and that'll only continue to get better. So it's a great place to actually find those jobs, not only who your warm connections may be into those jobs, but to sort of source them in the first place. And if you find that great job, we've tried to make it even easier to apply to those jobs with our mobile app. You should all download LinkedIn's mobile app, which now supports applying to jobs anywhere, anytime. I want to talk briefly about the alumni tool, which I have parenthetically said is amazing because it is. I think it's the best kept secret on LinkedIn. And part of why I think it's amazing is because my team built it. But it's really a great networking and job search tool. So if you just go to linkedin.com/alumni or through your school's university page, so just search for the name of your school, you'll see it embedded on that page there. Or you can go in through the top nav under Connections, find alumni. Here, you know, I brought up the University of Virginia page. You can see there are over 105,000 people who've listed UVA on the education section of their profiles. And so what we've done with this tool is aggregated them and sort of made it visual and easy to use, giving you some views into who these people are. So the first thing you can see is an aggregated view of where graduates live, where they work, and what they do. This is, you know, a combination of specific cities and countries in terms of where they live. Where they work is, you know, the employers that where they tend to be congregated, and then what they do is sort of the industry that they're in. You can also scroll to the right if you hit the arrow on the right there and see three more facets here. Their college major, so what they studied, what they're skilled at, what they're good at. These are the skills that people have endorsed them for, and then how you're connected and who you know. And if you scroll down, you can actually see who those people are. What's great about this is you have the ability to search for any keyword. Anything on the LinkedIn profiles index. So you're searching entire profiles for anything. So let's say you wanted to see venture capitalists. You could search for those terms and only see those results. You can also limit your search parameters by date. So you could see graduates from a certain class. Maybe you want to see your classmates or a date range. And at the bottom, I've also circled Show More. If you click Show More, it'll give you 25 results. So you can see sort of the top 25 employers, for example, or skills, or geographies where alumni tend to go. And if you don't see the individual companies or locations or whatever you're trying to search for on that list of 25, you can actually search for specific companies, for example. You don't see them there by default. The coolest part of this tool for me is that everything dynamically adjusts when you click on an individual bar. So I'm doing a disservice to this tool by having to show it in PowerPoint as opposed to a live demo, but when you click on any one of these bars, everything else updates, so you can get really targeted. So let's say here the search I've done is you want to explore everyone who went to UVA who works in the San Francisco Bay Area and works for Google. So I've clicked those two bars. Again, took me minimal time, you know, a few seconds. I get an updated count of who those graduates are, so over 100. And then, of course, I can see who they are if I scroll down. So, you know, it's just always best to, when you're looking for opportunities or want to make a connection, to be a warm applicant rather than just another resume in a pile. So this gives you a way to find people that you might be able to connect with. And what's great is because it's affiliated with your presumably shared alma mater, you already have the groundwork to make a connection. So this is showing me people who meet those two criteria I've searched for, but you can do this for anything. And you can imagine if you're a student, this is also really interesting to not only find people, but maybe to inform your academic journey. Let's say that you know you want to work in a certain area or for a certain employer, you can sort of work backwards and see what you might study to get there and what skills you need to beef up on. Okay, so that's it for the alumni tool. Definitely spend some time with that. I know personally I've spent hours on it. Also, just I mentioned at the outset that LinkedIn is a great content repository nowadays, and I just wanted to highlight this for people who don't know. Pulse is our sort of news stream aggregator. If you go under the interest top nav and then to Pulse, you'll get news that we think is relevant for you. You can also follow specific influencers. We have hundreds who are business luminaries who are writing long-form blog posts every day that you can follow. You can also follow specific channels which tend to align themselves to industries, so things like marketing, higher education. We have lots and lots of channels that you can follow. One that I would recommend that you do at the bare minimum is follow the Your Career channel, which is just general good advice on progressing in your career. So make sure you check out some of the content on LinkedIn. It's getting more and more robust. And one thing we did recently was also opened up our influencer long-form publishing platform to anyone on LinkedIn. And we're going to continue to go bigger with that. So you're getting content from people in your network or even outside of it who are sharing their learnings about the professional world and as they've journeyed through their career. And what's great is you get notifications on LinkedIn anytime somebody in your network has published a post. So I know that I've been spending a lot more time on LinkedIn recently reading the thoughts of my current and former colleagues. So definitely check out Pulse, influencers, channels, and some of the other long-form posts that are starting to happen on LinkedIn. Last thing I just want to quickly talk about is a new product offering that we have called Premium Spotlight. This is $10 a month, and it's a really great way to sort of stand out from the crowd and also to be found. With this product, which is fairly inexpensive compared to some of our other premium offerings, you get customized keyword suggestions. So, I mentioned at the beginning how important that is. We've actually created the ability to give you automated suggestions based on what we think about who you are and what your title is. You might want to, beef up your profile with certain keywords. So you can get those suggestions with this premium product. You get a 30% larger profile card. You can customize a background image. You appear slightly differently on search and a little bit more prominently. So it's a really great way to just stand out and be found. One purely anecdotal data point, my wife says since she went to premium, she's gotten multiple, like 2 to 3 invite requests a day, whereas she maybe used to get once a week. So it seems to be working in terms of her standing out, and I've experienced the same. So it's a neat product we just launched very recently. You guys might want to check it out because we think it's also pretty affordable. So that's all I had in terms of the formal presentation. Happy now to open it up to questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. Thanks.
Omar, did you want me to read some of the questions that came in earlier? Did you want to scroll back and look at them, or how would you like to work that?
Yeah, it'd be great if you could read them to me, or the ones that you think are the most pressing or
sure,
repeated.
Sure. One question I've had from a couple people has to do with when you see a name with only a last initial. Someone says they see a growing trend for that, and they're reluctant to accept invitations from members that don't have the last name. And then someone else is saying that that's not for free. But I think it's a question of how they're related to you contact-wise. Is that correct?
When you get a connection request from anyone, you should see the full name. It's just a function of what they've actually put on their profile. So, I think it's fair to be skeptical of those people unless you know them. We're still in there's a lot of confusion about LinkedIn, so a lot of people are still reluctant to put their full information out there. But this is why we try to get the word out in forums like this that your professional presence online really matters. And I would say to those people, they need to have their full name as well as a photo and some information about who they are and what they've done. If you don't know them, feel free to decline that request, but it's really more on them. It's not a function of your degrees of connection or anything like that. You should see at least their full name and photo if they try to reach out.
Okay, thank you. Going towards another topic of who to connect with, or continuing on the topic of who to connect with, we've got a couple of questions about if you think that an academic dean should accept requests from current students, or if you should accept requests from coworkers and superiors if you're not looking for a job. What is your opinion on on what's appropriate for?
There's a lot of a lot of mixed opinions on that, and far be it for me to opine on that. I think it's a personal choice. I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier. My personal view is that you should think broadly about that, because you never know where that lead can come from or who people know that you may know. But, you know, a lot of people are more reluctant to do that kind of thing. I think, you know, think about it similarly to how you would connect in the offline world. You know, who would you be willing to share your contact information with? Who would you want to talk to and network with? Who would you reach out to if you were looking for an opportunity and someone might know someone at a place you're trying to get into? You know, that's sort of a good rubric for how to think about connecting, but there's different views on that. I don't think that LinkedIn has an official sort of stance or anything like that. We want to make connecting with people as easy as possible. So it's sort of up to you to set the boundaries of where you think that's appropriate and not appropriate. But again, the wider network you have, the more opportunity there is that somebody will know somebody that you're interested in getting to know. So I just think the network effect is powerful if you make it work for you. Now, I personally haven't gone as far as, there's also the concept of the LinkedIn open networker. These are people who will accept anybody who sends them a connection request. My threshold is pretty low, but it's not that low. It's kind of, I need to know you. So that's personally how I approach it. Excuse me. But I think there's different views on that, and you know, I don't think the platform enables you to do whatever you want. I would say you have to think through what that looks like for you. And maybe the way to start is to emphasize a quality network over quantity, and over time sort of loosen those restrictions. You know, I would start with your innermost circle. Oh, and also one other thing. I know there's always sensitivity around, you know, notifications going out once you've updated your profile, for example, and if you are connected to current coworkers, it can be perceived as a signal that maybe you're looking for a job. you can actually turn those activity you can turn off the ability to broadcast those notifications to your network under your settings. So if you're worried about that, I would recommend you do that.
One question just recently came in is, how do you go about branding yourself appropriately if you wear multiple hats, like photography, music, consulting, et cetera? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. LinkedIn does not currently have the ability for you to, say, create multiple profiles that you maybe want to activate at different times or for different people. So you sort of got one professional online presence. I think you just need to do that on your summary section, you know, sort of crafting a rounded a view into who you are and what your various interests and skills are. Remember to upload rich media if you have, you know, the ability to showcase work that might be different than your core work. There's an interest section at the bottom of profile where you can talk about some of the other things that, you know, you're into. So I think it's just a question of how you represent yourself within that single profile. And I would say just use every opportunity you can to do that. There's no limitation on the number of job positions you can talk about in the experience section. Again, I highlight the volunteer experience section as well. So no concrete tips there. It's just make all the functionality of the profile work for you in terms of that summary section. There's no reason you can't have a headline that's, you know, got multiple sort of hats that you wear in it, and then, you know, showcase yourself on rich media, include the diversity of your interests in that interest section. I think it's, you know, again, it just goes back to you never know what people could be searching for or what grabs people about what you've done. So, you know, I have all of my random experience as well as my core experience on LinkedIn. I spent time as a sports reporter, and that's on there, you know, just as prominently as my time in the tech world. Sorry if that's an insufficient answer. Again, I'm doing my best to address, I know there's a lot of general questions about LinkedIn, and it's not really what my core focus is in terms of my market, but I'm doing my best here.
You mentioned endorsements early on in the talk, and we have a question that came in about how to develop the endorsements of skills.
So you can list specific skills that you have, and that will start to prompt your network to potentially endorse you for those skills. So I definitely recommend you add skills that you think you have, and again, use those keywords. We've indexed lots and lots of skills, but you may have some that aren't even in the system, so just add them. I think the idea with endorsements is going out to your broad network in a lighter touch way than the heavy touch that is a recommendation, which is people you've actually worked with or for. We wanted to make it easy for the community to sort of say, yeah, this person has those skills, and sort of validate that. And I know oftentimes, you know, you might have been endorsed for certain skills that you either don't think you have or by people who wouldn't know that you have them. And that's certainly possible in individual cases, but what we found with endorsements is that in aggregate, if you look at everybody, sort of your network writ large, the skills that you truly have tend to bubble up to the top. So it might be problematic one-off, but you know, when you're sourcing from a whole community and a large network of people, it tends to be fairly accurate. So that's sort of the idea with skills and endorsements. You seed it with skills that you think you have, and then you can be endorsed for those. And I think it's a pretty valuable part of the profile. Again, remember, recruiters are actually looking at that, and you're 13 times more likely to be viewed if you have skills in that section.
Good to know. Thank you. I have a couple questions about that. Someone mentioned they have multiple education entries, but only the most recent shows. So they're asking, how can they get them all of their education entries to show?
Okay, I think this person is referring to what shows on your top card, sort of the business card version of your LinkedIn profile at the very top. It is true that we're only pulling the most recent education in that section. But I'm not 100% sure of this. You might want to test it. You can sort subsections within specific sections. So I think if you pull, you know, perhaps your older education above the more recent one, if that's the one you want to have highlighted, it may pull that onto your top card. But I'm not 100% sure of that. I would say try it out. If not, then we're just pulling the most recent. But you can also file a help ticket with our customer service center if that continues to be a problem for you.
Okay, I'm scrolling through trying to get some other, there are a lot of questions coming in. Someone asks, says, I own a business and also work with clients. How do I separate my personal profile versus business? So he's asking about creating two different profiles. Can you address that?
Yeah, we don't allow businesses to create personal profiles. The thing to do is to create a company page for your business. And then, when you log in, on that page, you'll be an admin for that page, as well as you'll be able to maintain your own personal profile. So creating a company page is a great way to go. You can build followers, communicate to them, update them. You can feature specific products or services that you offer. That's a whole ecosystem unto itself, and there are over 3 million companies who have that kind of presence on LinkedIn. I think that's the way to go if you're a small business.
I've had a couple of questions about reviewing how you use the alumni tool again, if you could maybe go back to that, and also a couple of questions about if you can look at specific schools, for instance, for UVA, can you look at McIntyre or Law?
That's a good question. So you can, first of all, just, I didn't mention it, but in the top right corner, you have the ability to change schools. So you can search for any school on LinkedIn. We've indexed over 25,000 of them. So any school that you basically have heard of, you'll be able to see this information. In terms of the question about sub-schools, like the Comm School or School of Law, there's sort of a bit of a disparate experience on LinkedIn right now. Some of those schools do have their own pages and alumni affiliated with them. Those tend to be the graduate schools, so schools of law, schools of business, and sometimes the med schools. But other than that, generally we're looking at schools that are sort of the overarching institution, so the University of Virginia. I know for the Comm School, for example, Comm School grads would roll up to this University of Virginia and they would just, in the what they studied section would be listed under business. So, do a couple different searches to see. Also, if you go to the university page, so if you click University of Virginia, or you just click home when you're inside the alumni tool, in the bottom right corner of the nav, it'll show you similar schools as well as related or affiliated schools. So you can see all of the other pages that are affiliated with the University of Virginia. I know that there's a page for, I think, Darden and the law school and maybe also the med school. But pretty much any undergrad program should generally be rolling up to this overarching University of Virginia page. I hope that helps.
Here's one question that's getting a little more specific. I'm going to throw it at you. Someone asks, what if I joined with one email address but have created a separate business address? Do I lose all my contacts? Because that's what LinkedIn told me. I don't know. Is there a way to change your email address on your LinkedIn account?
Yeah, you can change your email address. You can add multiple. You can make one primary and others secondary. I don't believe that you should lose any of your information or contact information just by changing your email address. I've done that myself multiple times. Maybe I'm misunderstanding the question.
And I think you addressed this earlier. Someone asked, can you view someone's LinkedIn profile without being seen?
Yeah, you can turn off the who's viewed my profile, but again, you won't have insight into who's viewing your profile to do that. You can also log out of LinkedIn and view members' public profile, which is sort of an abbreviated version of one's profile. I see a related question about how people are showing up as anonymous. That's the way that happens, that they've turned off that feature and you're just seeing LinkedIn member as opposed to anything specific about who they are.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's the most recent question. If you see this came in, is it recommended to upload one's actual CV to LinkedIn as a separate document? Or should you incorporate it into your profile, or both?
That's a good question, yeah. I don't have a strong view on that, nor any data points I can share. I think, you want to have a lot of robust information on your profile. I don't think that that's what we've intended with the ability to upload documents or rich media to your profile. I think you want to have that information on your profile so that it can be searched for and found not only by recruiters or hiring managers, but also just search engines. If maybe you're in academic world or you have, a CV that you've really invested in and it adds a different dimension to your profile, I guess there's no reason not to upload that. But I think you want to think about your profile as a way to recreate that robustly.
That's a very good point.
I see a recent question and just want to address real quick about using LinkedIn for internships for someone who's college-aged. Yes, employers are posting internship opportunities on LinkedIn. And actually, if you send your daughter to linkedin.com/studentjobs, we have a student jobs portal where where they can find jobs and entry-level jobs and internships. And we're really investing in building that out. It's actually free to employers to post those opportunities because we really want to seed that part of our ecosystem. Whereas other employers for regular full-time jobs, we charge them to post jobs on LinkedIn. So there's over 60,000 jobs and internships on Student Jobs portal. I would send her there to get started, and it's just going up and up. So hopefully that's going to become a more and more valuable resource for students. Other questions, Mary?
We're coming up on 1 o'clock, so I'm going to go ahead and thank you, Omar, for this very educational webinar. I know that I'm speaking for everyone when I tell you that we really appreciate all the information you've shared with us today. And I also want to thank all our participants. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you spending your time with us. As always, we've been recording today's webinar, and everyone who registered will receive a link to the webinar recording in an email later today. Also, please remember to complete the Friday Forum survey. I also want to put a little plug for Friday Forums. Our next one will take place in 2 weeks on Friday, June 27th. UVA alum Suzanne Tufts will talk about board membership and how it can serve to enhance your career while also allowing you to give back to your community. Hope you can join us then. So I'm going to say thank you again from Alumni Career Services here at UVA's Alumni Association, both to Omar Garriott and to our audience. Please join us again in 2 weeks for our next Friday Forum, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks.